ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
عبد الرحمن، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، Our book is الداء والدواء by الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله أبو عبد الله محمد بن أبي بكر ابن قيم الجوزية رحمه الله. And the last discourse was about Al-Quran. We had discussed his answering, rahimahullah, assuring the person who gets into a trouble, assuring the person in a problem, in a difficult situation, assuring the person who got into the abyss of sinfulness, assuring the person who is so ill, is held down by a disease. The Imam brought that assurance from a statement from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, that ma anzala Allahu da'an illa anzala lahu shifa'a. Allah has not sent down an illness except that He has sent down for it a means of cure for it. He brought these ahadith and he explained that these diseases, even if they may be from the amradu al-qalbiyya, the diseases of the heart, or from the amradu al-ruhiyya, from the diseases connected to the ruh, the soul, or that they are from the amradu al-badaniyya, diseases connected to the body itself, our limbs, Allah has sent down cure for each of them. And he told us what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, alimahu man alimahu, wa jahilahu man jahilahu. What remains regarding the illnesses is alimahu man alimahu. Those who know the cure regarding that illness or those illnesses, they know them. Wa jahilahu man jahilahu. And the one who knows not does not know, meaning that all that is required about illness is to look for the one who actually knows the cure for those illnesses. He gave us an example, al-jahal. Al-jahal is from the illnesses of the qalb, from the illnesses of the heart. From the illnesses of a person's heart is that he is a jahil. There are other illnesses of the heart, like ashakku, like ar-rayb, like al-hasad, like al-ham, like al-gham. We had explained this in the previous classes. So the example he gave us from the examples of al-amrad al-qalbiyya, the diseases of the heart, and that for each of them, they have a cure. The example he gave is the disease connected to al-jahal, ignorance. That ignorance in itself is a disease. He said, rahimahullah, فَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ الْجَهْلَ دَاءٌ وَأَنَّ شِفَاءَهُ السُّؤَالُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to us that فَإِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيُّ السُّؤَالُ. The cure for al-'i, which is called ignorance. Innama shifa'u al-'i as-su'al. The cure for al-'i, 'iyyu al-qalb, that is ignorance, is what as-su'al. So meaning that ignorance is a disease, and the cure is asking, learning, finding out, researching, and acquiring knowledge. All of these come under that that word as su'al. He then proceeded, rahimahullah, to tell us from the cures that are all-encompassing, all-inclusive, the cure that Allah has given us for every disease, whether that disease is qalbiyun, maradun qalbiyun, a disease connected to the qalb, or maradun ruhiyun, or a disease connected to the ruh, or maradun badaniyun, a disease connected to the body. And that cure is Al-Qur'an. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah explained to us that Al-Qur'an kulluhu shifa. The entirety of the Qur'an is shifa. And the entirety of the Qur'an is shifa'un li kulli marad. The Qur'an is cure for every kind of illness. Ikhwah, the Qur'an is cure for every kind of illness. The Imam brought a few verses of the Quran to explain that to us from our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah said, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We have not sent down this Quran. This Quran, what we have placed inside is شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ. Linguistically, that expression, al-nakira, with which he said shifa'un, it has come fi siyaqi al-ithbat. He is affirming. We have affirmed this Quran as a book that has been revealed. It has come with two things, shifa'un, cure for all of the kinds of illnesses that you may have. For all our illnesses, whether that illness is qalbiyun, whether that illness is ruhiyun, whether that illness is badaniyun, the Quran is cure for them. And we give an example in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, when he saw a man mubtala. This man was in trial, rolling on the ground. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu went to him and recited in his ears, أَفَحَصِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ لا برهان له به فإنما حسابه عند ربه إنه لا يفلح الكافر إنه لا يفلح الكافرون وقل رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الرحيم. These last verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun were recited to the man. فأفاق. This man came to consciousness and stood up and walked away. The Prophet was alive, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this incident happened. He was informed about it. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, ma qara'ta fi uzunihi? What was it that you read in the man's ears? Faqala qara'tu afa hasibtum annama. He explained that I read to him, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا. The Prophet said, عَلَيْهِ سَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدْهِ. I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا مُوْكِنًا قَرَأَ بِهَا عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَزَالَ. لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا مُوْكِنًا قَرَأَ بِهَا عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَزَالَ. If a person of Iman, if a Muslim recites this portion of the Quran, he recites it and he is مُوْكِنًا, is conscious of what he's reciting, certain that Allah will accept his dua, Lazala. If he read it, qara'a biha ala jabalin. If he read it upon a mountain, upon a rock, lazala. The rock will be pulverized. This is to say, no matter how big that illness, Allah will bring a cure bi'idhnillah. This is regarding maradun ruhiyun, because the most likely thing is that the man was under masu shaitan. The man was under a spell from shaitan. He was under possession. So this will be that the Quran here in this case, that author we have read to us, or that hadith occurs in Kitab al-Du'a by Al-Imam al-Tabarani rahimahullah. It also occurs in Amal al-Yawmi wal-Layla by Al-Imam Ibn al-Sunni rahimahullah. And the isnad is Hassan. We had explained that in the last class. So this will be employing the Quran for a matter that is ruhiyun, for a disease that is from the disease of the ruh, of the soul. Because the likely thing is that the man was either under ayn, or he was under fasad, or that he was under masu shaitan, that shaitan had the jinns had possessed him. So when the verse was read, Allah made it a means of cure. The point here is that وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This Quran, what we have placed in this is shifa'un, a means of cure for all your diseases. وَرَحْمَةٌ, and a means of mercy and compassion for you, ikhwa. In that example, the Quran was employed to cure a disease that is from the diseases of the ruh, from maradun ruhiyun. Now the question can be, and that was why before we move forward, Ibn al-Qayyim said to us, and we also read this in the last class, that for huwa shifa'un lil kulubi min da'il jahli. The Quran is shifa'un. From the copy we would have on the screen, that will occur on page, that will occur on page 6. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ. Below it, Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, he said, فَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كُلُّهُ شِفَاءٌ. Because definitely the Quran, كُلُّهُ شِفَاءٌ, in its entirety, it's a means of cure. كَمَا قَالَ فِي الْآيَةِ الْأُخْرَى. As Allah said to us, in the verse before, that was the verse in Surah to Fusilat that we had read. And then he says, فَهُوَ شِفَاءٌ لِلْقُلُوبِ مِنْ دَاءِ الْجَهْلِ. This Quran is cure. مِنْ دَاءِ الْقُلُوبِ, for the hearts. مِنْ دَاءِ الْجَهْلِ, against the illnesses of ignorance. وَالشَّكْ, and doubt. What rape and confusion. People are in ignorance, people are in doubt, always in doubt, or always in a rape, what taraddud, going forth and backwards regarding a matter, always ever confused. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, فَلَمْ يُنزِلِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ شِفَاءً. So Allah has not sent down from the heavens, subhanahu wa ta'ala, min as-sama'i shifa'an. He has not sent down from the heavens any means of cure, talk to, not at all. A'amma, so comprehensive and all-inclusive. Wala anfa'a, so effective and very potent. Wala a'azama, so outstanding and excellent. Wala and Ja'a, so impactful and influential. And Ja'a, when it is impactful, fi izalati da, regarding the removal of illnesses, min al Quran, like the Quran. There is no illness that the Quran does not remove. Why? Lam yunzil Allah subhanahu min as-sama'i shifa'an. Allah has not sent down from the heavens any means of cure. A'amma wa la anfa'a. A'am, which is more all-inclusive. The Quran is cure for so many things. One means of cure, useful, beneficial, potent for so many things, all put together. He said, Rahimahullah, wala anfa'a, likewise so effective and potent, wala a'zama, likewise so outstanding and excellent, wala anja'a, so impactful and beneficial, fi izalati da'i, regarding the removal of illnesses, min al Quran, better than the Quran. The Quran is the cure for all the illnesses. It is very, very all-inclusive. It is very effective. It is very outstanding. And it is very, very impactful. He now wants to give us another example. The example we give was the example where Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu read Afa Hasibtum in the ears of a person who was down, and the man stood up radiallahu anhu. Ibn al-Qayyim said rahimahullah, وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ. It is authentically reported in the two Sahih, Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim, min hadithi Abi Sa'id, from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, who said, in talaqa nafarun min ashabin nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam fi safratin safaruha. The companions, they proceeded, a number of them, nafarun min ashabin nabi, a number of the companions of the prophets proceeded on a journey. Fi safratin safaruha. They proceeded on a journey that they embarked upon. In some riwayat, their number was 30. Hatta nazalu ala hayyin min ahya'il Arab. Until they stayed to stay over. They stopped to stay over. Ala hayyin min ahya'il Arab. At a village, in one of the villages in the desert, in the wilderness. Fastadafuhum. So they asked to be allowed to lodge. Fa'abaw an yudayifuhum. But the people rejected receiving them and accepting their request to lodge in their community. Faludiga sayyidu dhalika al-hayy. So the head of that community became stung by a scorpion. فَصَعَوْا لَهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَا يَنْفَعُهُ شَيْءٌ. صَعَوْا لَهُ. They made efforts regarding him. They had means, they had medicines, they had medications, different kinds of drugs they would employ to find a cure for the scorpion sting. In every means, they made efforts for him. Bikulli shay'in, in everything they knew could cure the sting of a scorpion. La yanfa'uhu shay'un. Nothing on off all of that was beneficial to him. Faqala ba'duhum, one of them then gave a suggestion that law ataytu ha'ula'i rahata alladhina nazalu لعله أن يكون عند بعضهم شيء لو أتيتم هؤلاء الرهط. What if you approach those group, that group of Muslims, Alladhina Nazalu, those people who had wanted to stay, who stayed, we asked them to go, we don't want them to stay. La'allahu an yakuna 'inda ba'dihim shay'un. Perhaps one of them would have something that will be a means of cure from this thing of a scorpion. The sting of a scorpion. Is it maradun qalbiyun? It is not. Is it maradun ruhiyun? It is not. Is it maradun badaniyun? Yes, it is. It is from the illnesses of the bodily limbs. So that was what the man suffered. He was stung by a scorpion. فَأَتَوْهُمْ فَقَالُوا. He approached the companions and said, أَيُّهَا الرَّحْتُ. O you group of people, inna sayyidana ludiga wa sa'ayna lahu bi kulli shay'in la yanfa'uhu. Inna sayyidana ludiga, our head, our leader, was stung by a scorpion. Wa sa'ayna lahu bi kulli shay'in la yanfa'uhu. And we have struggled with everything we can find. La yanfa'uhu. Nothing is effective. Nothing is benefiting him. فَهَلْ إِنْدَ أَحَدٍ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Does any one of you, do we find anything with any one of you that we can employ? فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ. One of the companions, رضي الله عنهم, said, نعم. In some report, it said it was Abu Sa'id al-Khudri himself. In some reports, it said it was who? Abu Sa'id himself, radiallahu anhu. But in this case, because it was him, he gave the report in another expression, radiallahu anhu. فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ نَعْمْ. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, yes, we have. وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَرُقِي. I swear by Allah, I can read something unto him. I can read unto him asking for cure. Walakin, wallahi, istadafnakum falam tudayifuna. But the problem was, I swore by Allah, we had asked for your permission that you allow us to lodge and that you receive us. Falam tudayifuna. But you rejected our reception. فَمَا أَنَا بِرَاكٍ لَكُمْ حَتَّى تَجْعَلُوا لَنَا جُعْلًا. فَمَا أَنَا بِرَاكٍ لَكُمْ. I will not even try. I will not in any way give a recitation that will be a means of a cure. حَتَّى تَجْعَلُوا لَنَا جُعْلًا. Until you prepare for us a recompense, a compensation. I will not give that reading until you give us a compensation. If you are ready to give us a compensation, I will read something and he will be cured by Allah's power. فَصَالَحُوهُمْ عَلَىٰ قَطِعٍ مِّنَ الْغَنَمِ. صَالَحُوهُمْ. So they went into an agreement with them. عَلَىٰ قَطِعٍ مِّنَ الْغَنَمِ. Over a number of sheep. In some reports, it said it was 30 in number, qati in a number of something, a cut out part of something. So if you have a head, it has a qati, and that is about 30. The scholar said perhaps that was, they agreed on 30, because the number of companions who were on that trip were how many? They were 30 in number, radiallahu anhum. فَصَالَحُوهُمْ عَلَىٰ قَطِعٍ مِّنَ الْغَنَمِ. So they agreed, they went into an agreement with them, عَلَىٰ قَطِعٍ مِّنَ الْغَنَمِ, for 30 goats. فَانْطَلَقَ. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri proceeded, يَتْفُلُ عَلَيْهِ. He was blowing on the mount, the way we blow spittles. He was gently blowing on him. وَيَقْرَأُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And he was reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. فَكَأَنَّمَا نُشِطَ مِنْ إِقَالٍ. It was as if the man was released from a tie. It was as if the man was tied down and he was relieved. Van Paula Koyemshi, he went on walking freely. Wama bihi kolabatun, yani ma bihi alamun. He was not feeling any kind of a pain. The response of that man to the ruqya of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri from the sting of a scorpion was that the man stood up and he was walking away freely. In some riwayat, it said that that Surah Al-Fatiha was read 7 times. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. One of the first benefits of this hadith is that we all must learn to recite Surah Al-Fatiha properly. You must learn Surah Al-Fatiha properly. Not to recite Surah Al-Fatiha properly is another disease. The cure for it is what? As-su'al, learning. When you cure the disease of the ignorance about your reading Surah Al-Fatiha, then Surah Al-Fatiha, you can read it bi-idhnillah correctly, and you can achieve a lot of results with it. فَأَوْفَوْهُمْ. So it became that they fulfilled أَوْفَوْهُمْ جُعْلَهُمُ الَّذِي صَالَحُوهُمْ عَلَيْهِ. They fulfilled جُعْلَهُمْ, the compensation, the recompense, الَّذِي صَالَحُوهُمْ عَلَيْهِ, that over which they had agreed with the rest of the Muslims. فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ. Some of the companions began to say, اقتسموا, hey, let us distribute these goats now. Let us share these goats now. فَقَالَ الَّذِي رَقَاهُ. But the one who actually read the ruqya said, لَا نَفْعَلُ حَتَّى نَعْتِيَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَّلَّمُ فَنَذْكُرَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي كَانَ. Would not distribute it. لَا نَفْعَلُ. Will not share these goats. حَتَّى نَعْتِيَ النَّبِيَّ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَّلَامُ. Until we come back to the Prophet عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَّلَامُ. فَنَذْكُرَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي كَانَ. And then we will mention to him what had happened. فَنَنْظُرَ بِمَا يَعْمُرُنَا. Then at that time, we will see what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, مَا بِمَا يَعْمُرُنَا. فَنَذْكُرَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي كَانَ. فَنَنْظُرُ بِمَا يَعْمُرُنَا. We would tell him what had happened. فَنَنْظُرُ بِمَا يَعْمُرُنَا. We would see what then he will command us to do. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Ikhwah, let us understand this fact about the companions. They always wanted to seek guidance about their affairs. If it were in our own times, it perhaps might be that it was after the distribution will be asking the Prophet, what should we have done? For them, they would ask first, yes, we can receive, we have received. Oh, so what do we do, O Messenger of Allah? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would guide us and we would see what he will command us to do. فَقَدِمُوا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ سَلَّمْ فَذَكَرُوا لَهُ ذَلِكَ. They returned to the Prophet from their journey, alayhi salatu wasalam, fadhakaru lahu dhalik, and they mentioned what had happened to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Faqal, upon that the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa ma yudarika annaha ruqyatun. Ma yudarik, what was it that gave you the knowledge that annaha ruqya, that annaha, that Surah Al-Fatiha is ruqya, is the means of reading and getting cure? How did you know, O Abu Sa'id? Thumma qali. In some riwayat of this athar, when the Prophet asked Abu Sa'id, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, Shay'un, it was something, ju'ila fi raw'i. Allah gave me that inspiration. It was something that was placed in my mind that Surah Al-Fatiha will cure this matter in terms of ruqya. The scholars gave a lot of explanation again on that. Why? What made him to think that Surah Al-Fatiha will be a means of cure? It was something that came to my mind. I felt that Surah Al-Fatiha will be very useful for this man. Radiallahu anhu. Thumma qal. Subsequently, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, qad asabtum. You are correct. You are correct that Surah Al-Fatiha is ruqya. Qad asabtum. You have achieved correctness. You were right upon what you did. Qad asabtum. Qad asabtum. You are also right to have given a condition. If you don't pay us something, if you don't agree on something, we will not read it to you. You are right. Qad asabtum. You are also right to come back to me to ask for the details of what you should do with what you have gathered because you did not have the knowledge of it. They did not have the knowledge of what do we do after we've collected the jewel, the compensation. So what do we do with it? Because they did not know, they came to ask a question. So this is a further support for the first hadith we read. That innama shifa'u al-'iyyi as-su'al. The cure for ignorance is what? Asking the question. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, qad asabtum. You are correct, all of you. Iqtasimu. You can distribute it because that is what is left that they don't know about. Iqtasimu. Distribute the 30 sheep. Wadribu. Li ma'akum sahma, yani udribu li ma'akum nasiba. And then when you distribute it, udribu li ma'akum sahma. Give me a part of it, give me a share of it, alayhi salatu salam. The ulama say the Prophet did this so that they will be further assured that what they did was right. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he shared from it. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa dhahika an-nabiyyu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on smiling. Alayhi salatu wasallam. The point of reference is that the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, from it, the mother of the Quran, Ummul Quran, has shifa'un. And its shifa'un in this case was regarding maradun badaniyun, was regarding an illness that is from the body. So if you have a case of a scorpion sting, as you run to the hospital, make ruqya. As you run to the hospital to seek other means of cure, don't just keep quiet. Don't just be shouting. Don't just be wailing. Oh, she has been stung. Oh, she has been bitten by a snake. Don't just start shouting. What do you do? Start reciting Surah Al-Fatiha as a means of cure for that person that has been stung by the scorpion. The major point in this hadith is that the Quran is a means of cure. And here it became a means of cure for the stinging of a scorpion. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, in a hadith collected by Imam Malik in Al-Muwatta, she said radiallahu anha, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, kana iza shtaka, whenever the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam felt ill, he felt sick, يَقْرَأُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بِالْمُعَوِّذَاتِ وَيَنْفُثُ يَقْرَأُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بِالْمُعَوِّذَاتِ. The Prophet will recite Al-Mu'awwidhat. What are those? Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falak, and what? Suratul Nas. These three surahs, what are they called? Al-Mu'awwidhat. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا اشتكى يقرأ على نفسه بالمعوذات. He would read the mu'awwidhat upon himself. وينفث, and then he will blow. Don't forget, Abu Sa'id blew too. Abu Sa'id blew. When you read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, at the end of it, you say, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. I mean, you blow on your hand and rub it on the affected area. You blow on the hand and you rub it on the affected area. Sometimes we are tired, we are exhausted. All the time, some young people, they are used to taking paracetamol or Panadol all the time because they feel pains, body. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha, rub it, bismillah, it will go. It is not all the time you take paracetamol. Some of the people do that and then they become so used to it and addicted to it. If it is something requiring that you go to the hospital, even if you have to go to the hospital, when you go to the hospital, add the ruqya to it. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha, recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, recite Surah Al-Falak, recite Surah Al-Nas. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا اشْتَكَى, when he fell ill, whenever he took ill, يَقْرَأُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بِالْمُعَوِّذَاتِ, he will recite mu'awwidhat on his body. وَيَنْفُثُ, and he will be blowing. He recites Surah Al-Falak, he blows on his hands, he rubs it. Likewise, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, this hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا مَرِضَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ, when anyone from his dependents took ill, نَفَثَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْمُعَوِّذَاتِ. So it was not for him alone. He did it for himself. And he would do it for the members of his house. Ikhwa, let us do it for ourselves and the members of our home. إِذَا مَرِضَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ نَفَثَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْمُعَوِّذَاتِ, when anyone took ill from his family, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, نَفَثَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْمُعَوِّذَاتِ, he will recite and blow the mu'awwidhat. He blows with the mu'awwidhat on those persons who take ill in his house. Ibn al-Qayyim continued and said, Rahimahullah, there are a lot of examples in this. Abdullah ibn Umar, this also occurs in Al-Muwatta by Al-Imam Malik. Abdullah ibn Umar was also stung by a scorpion. وَرُوكِيَ ibn Umar بِالْأَقْرَبِ مِنَ الْأَقْرَبِ, رُوكِيَ ibn Umar مِنَ الْأَقْرَبِ. Abdullah ibn Umar took Rukiya when he was stung by a scorpion, ibn Umar. This one occurs in Muwatta Imam Malik, and in Amalul Yomi wal Layla by Ibn Sunni, Ali ibn Abi Talib was also stung. He made ruqya with Surah Al-Fatiha. He read the Quran and Allah provided him cure. Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, back to our book. Faqad athara hadha dawa'u. He is explaining that hadith of Abu Sa'id in Al-Khudri, who read Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times to the head of the village where they had lodged and they had been rejected reception. And then he read Surah Al-Fatiha and the man stood up as if he was released from a chain. Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, فَقَدْ أَثَّرَ هَذَا الدَّوَاءُ فِي هَذَا الدَّائِ, فَقَدْ أَثَّرَ هَذَا الدَّوَاءُ, this cure, this means of cure, this medicine, this medication, قَدْ أَثَّرَ فِي هَذَا الدَّائِ, it has become impactful, it has impacted this disease. What was the disease? The stinging of a scorpion. What was the cure? Surah Al-Fatiha. Don't forget, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he himself had said to us alayhi salatu wa sallam, that فَإِذَا أُصِيبَ دَوَاءُ الدَّاءِ, whenever the cure for a particular illness becomes attained, بَرَأَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that illness goes away. So Surah Al-Fatiha is the cure. The disease this time was the stinging of a scorpion. فَإِذَا أُصِيبَ دَوَاءُ الدَّاءِ, when the medicine, when the medication for that illness became achieved, بَرَأَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, it became cured by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn al-Qayyim said here, فَقَدْ أَثَّرَ هَذَا الدَّوَاءُ فِي هَذَا الدَّاءِ. This medicine had become impactful on that illness. وَأَزَالَهُ, it removes the illness. حَتَّى كَعَلَّمْ يَكُنْ, it removed the illness so much, so that كَأَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ, as if it had never existed. وَهُوَ أَسْهَلُ دَوَاءٍ وَأَيْسَرُهُ, وَهُوَ أَسْهَلُ دَوَاءٍ, and that cure, that medicine, هُوَ أَسْهَلُ دَوَاءٍ, it is the easiest of all cures. وَأَيْسَرُهُ, and the most easy, it's أسهل, it is easy. وَأَيْسَرُ, what synonym can you find for ease? Very beneficial. You can get it easy. You can easily recite Surah Al-Fatiha. So from the easiest of the cure for every ailment, Ayyuhal Ikhwah, Surah Al-Fatiha. Add it to your medications. Start with it. Start with Surah Al-Fatiha. Because you are asking the cure from the one subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent down the illness. And he makes us understand that Surah Al-Fatiha is potent and effective for all the ailments. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Ibn al-Qayyim said, فَقَدْ أَثَّرَ هَذَا الدَّوَاءُ فِي هَذَا الدَّاءِ وَأَزَالَهُ حَتَّى كَأَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri's recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, أَثَّرَ فِي هَذَا الدَّاءِ, it impacted on that illness, the stinging of a scorpion. وَأَزَالَهُ, it removed the illness. حَتَّى كَأَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ, so much so that it was as if it never even happened at all. وَهُوَ أَسْهَلُ دَاءٍ, that cure is the easiest of the cure that you can find. وَأَيْسَرُهُ, and most easily found. It's easy, it's readily available. وَلَوْ أَحْسَنَ الْعَبْدُ التَّدَاوِيَ بِالْفَاتِحَةِ لَا رَأَى لَهَا تَعْثِيرًا عَجِيبًا فِي الشِّفَاءِ. لَوْ أَحْسَنَ الْعَبْدُ التَّدَاوِي, if the individual were to perfect التَّدَاوِي بِالْفَاتِحَةِ, a means of finding cure using the Fatiha. If it were possible for you to perfectly know how to use Surah Al-Fatiha, la ra'a laha ta'thiran ajiban fi shifa, you would have seen Surah Al-Fatiha have ta'thirun ajib, very, very amazing potency fi shifa, in terms of curing illnesses. You find, if you know how to use Surah Al-Fatiha, you find it very, very potent. And here we have read from Abdullah ibn Umar. He was beaten by an aqrab, by the scorpion. He read Surah Al-Fatiha. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he read Surah Al-Fatiha. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever he took ill, he recited Surah Al-Fatiha. He blew on his hands and rubbed on his body. And likewise, whenever anyone took heal inside his home, he started with what? Surah Al-Fatiha. And it was always a means of cure. And that was why Ibn al-Qayyim said that, وَلَوْ أَحْسَنَ الْعَبْدُ التَّدَاوِي بِالْفَاتِحَةِ, if it were possible that أَحْسَنَ الْعَبْدُ, the individual perfects التَّدَاوِي بِالْفَاتِحَةِ, using Fatiha as a means of cure, لَا رَأَى لَهَا تَأْثِيرًا أَجِيبًا فِي الشِّفَاءِ, he would have seen Surah Al-Fatiha, he would have seen تَأْثِيرًا أَجِيبًا, outstanding potency and value with Surah Al-Fatiha, الشِّفَاء, in terms of a cure. وَقَدْ مَكَسْتُ, after giving us all these evidences, sometimes people say that was in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn al-Qayyim wants to tell us a personal experience he has, so that we know that these things have always been there and they have always ever been there. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, وَقَدْ مَكَسْتُ بِمَكَّةَ مُدَّةً تَعْتَرِينِ أَدْوَاءٌ ولا أجد طبيبا ولا دواء. قد مكثت بمكة. I was in Mecca. I had stayed in Mecca مدةً for a period. I was in Mecca. تعتريني أدواء ولا أجد طبيبا ولا دواء. تعتريني أدواء. I was afflicted by different kinds of illnesses when I was in Mecca. ولا أجد طبيبا. And I could not find a doctor. ولا دواء. Neither could I find any other means of cure. I couldn't find tablets. I couldn't find doctors. I was just alone. And I was in Mecca. Rahimahullah. He gave us that experience. He said, فَكُنْتُ أُعَالِجُ نَفْسِي بِالْفَاتِحَةِ. And I began at that time, I was always ever أُعَالِجُ نَفْسِي بِالْفَاتِحَةِ. I was seeking care for myself, employing Surah Al-Fatiha. فَأَرَى لَهَا تَأْثِيرًا عَجِيبًا. And I would see very outstanding impact of Surah Al-Fatiha on myself. I didn't find a doctor. I didn't find a medicine. I didn't find a means of curing myself. I began to use Surah Al-Fatiha. وكنت أعالج نفسي بالفاتحة. So I began to employ Surah Al-Fatiha to seek cure for myself. فأرى لها تأثيرا عجيبا. So I would find and I found تأثيرا impacts عجيبا that were so outstanding and excellent. وكنت أصف ذلك لمن يشتكي ألما. Subsequently, even when I had left Mecca, كنت أصف ذلك لمن يشتكي ألما. I began to describe that to those who say they have a problem. If this one came say he has an alam, he has a pain, he has a disturbance, he has tummy turning him, he has headache, he has this. أصف لمن يشتكي ألما. I began to describe it to anyone who complained of a pain. فَكَانَ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَبْرَأُ سَرِيعًا. And it happened that كَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَبْرَأُ سَرِيعًا. Many of them were quickly cured of the diseases that they came to complain to me. Someone comes, hey, my eyes, they recite Surah. Oh, my head, they recite Surah. Oh, my nose. Oh, my leg. Oh, my tummy. Oh, my neck. Oh, my, recite Surah Al-Fatiha. He said, Rahimahullah, فَكَانَ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَبْرَأُ سَرِيعًا. Many of them got cured as quick as they could get it. Bismillah, the cures came very quickly. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, for those of us reading from the screen, we are on page 8, the last paragraph. Ibn al-Qayyim now raised an issue, and I think it deserves proper attention. He says, ولكن ها هنا أمر ينبغي التفطن له. He said, however, ها هنا أمر ينبغي التفطن له. We now have a matter with us that it is necessary that we pay attention to that matter. Surah Al-Fatiha is a cure, and it cures all kinds of diseases, bismillah. Whether that disease is qalbiyun or what, ruhiyun or what, badaniyun. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Aisha said, إِذَا مَرِضَ أَحَدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ نَفَثَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْمُعَوِّذَاتِ. Likewise, other parts of the Quran. Because one نُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Likewise, the Quran. Every part of the Quran is a means of cure. And I always say to people, even Surah Al-Masad, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ, is from the Quran. And the entirety of the Quran is شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ, is shifa. Here, وَرَحْمَة, it means of compassion from Allah unto us. But there is a matter. What is that matter? وَهُوَ أَنَّ الْأَذْكَارَ وَالْآيَاتِ وَالْأَدْعِيَةِ الَّتِي يُسْتَشْفَى بِهَا وَيُرْقَى بِهَا هي في نفسها نافعة شافية. He said, the matter we need to pay attention to is that أن الأذكار, those أذكارs, those words of remembrance, والآيات, and the verses of the Quran, والأدعية, and all those dua the Prophet taught us, alayhi salatu wasalam, allati istashfa biha wa yurqa biha, with which we find cure, wa yurqa biha, with which we make ruqya. Hiya fi nafsiha nafi'atun shafi'atun. Be intrinsically fi nafsiha. Be in themselves. Nafi'a. They are beneficial. Shafi'a. Allah brings shifa. Allah brings cure. They are beneficial and curing. Walakin. However, tastad'i qabul al-mahall. It remains that the place we are putting it should be accepting, should be receptive. Where you want to place that Surah Al-Fatiha, where you want to place that medicine. It's like saying paracetamol cures headache. But how does the body you want to drink that paracetamol into, how does it receive that paracetamol? How does it receive the ruqya? The ruqya itself is the medicine. There is the doctor, there's the raqi, the person reciting. He is giving him a medicine. How receptive is the body receiving that medicine? He said, rahimahullah, he said, walakin tastad'i, these adhkars, these dua, these ayat, they require that we have qabul al-mahal. Place we are putting it, we should have acceptance. Wa kuwata himmatil fa'il. And then we should have kuwatu himmatil fa'il. The person reading it, what is his conviction? How attentive is he in his recitation? Kuwatu himmatil fa'il. The strength of the mind of the person who is reciting. In this case, we say, in terms of our modern day medicine, what is the level of the experience of the doctor who is giving the medicine, in terms of giving the proper dosage, giving the time, and all of these. This person who is reciting, who are you? Wata'athirahu. And your ability to create an impact. Where we are placing the medicine, the reception of the place, and then how impactful is the person who is trying to create an impact? How impactful is he? Because he wants to bring something from his own mind, from his own ruh, to create an impact of cure. How impacting is he? He said, this is the issue. And the Ibn Allah, the interchange of these three issues, the cure itself, the person prescribing the cure and giving the cure, and the person receiving the cure, the interplay of these three things, inshallah, we will come back to discuss them in the last class. We have gotten the cure now. The cure is Al-Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, Al-Mu'awidat, Afahasibtum annama khalaqnakum abatha, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayatul Kursi, Wattaba'u ma tatlu shayatinu ala mulki Sulaiman, Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard, wa intubedu ma fi anfusikum, Surah Al-Kafirun. All the places in the Quran are means of cure. So we have the cure now. We have the medicine now. It now remains, who is the person who is bringing that cure? The doctor that is prescribing the medicine, that is providing the take this cure. Then the person who is receiving the cure, the interplay of these three things will be very, very, very important. Regarding the impact of the medicine, the interplay of these three things will be very, very important regarding the impact of the medicine that is provided, this time Al-Quran. Bismillah, we come back to these discussions in our next class. If we have one or two questions we can quickly attend to, Bismillah, we would quickly do so. Abu Abdurrahman.
صلوات الله عليكم يا شيخ.
آمين آمين.
نعم دي three questions surrounding the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. The first one says,
yeah.
is it okay for us to collect compensation money from people when we do rukya for the people? So the second one says,
yeah, that is what Naam. Abu Rahman, hold it one after the other.
Yeah.
Can we receive compensations for rukya? Yes. Yes. Even though if you do it free, that's also good. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man istata'a minkum an yanfa'a akhahu falyaf'al. Anyone amongst you who is able to benefit his brother should benefit him. And that one happened when someone required ruqya. The Prophet was present, alayhi salatu wasalam. If you can benefit this person, please bring benefit to him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he read, afa hasibtum annama khalaqnakum abasa, he did not give a condition like Abu Sa'id. He read it, the man stood up and walked away. So it's allowed to, in fact, the best. Why? In that case, you expect all your rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All your rewards. You just give benefits to your brother. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on many occasions, he gave ruqya to people. When our mother Aisha said, when anyone in his home became ill, he recited Surah Al-Kafirun, he recited Surah Al-Ikhlas, Falaknas. He wasn't accepting anything. A woman brought her son to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The boy was possessed by a jinn. The Prophet did ruqya to that boy. He was beating the chest of the boy and the jinn came out of the boy and ran away. The Prophet did not give a condition, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the basic rule is don't accept, don't give a condition. But the second thing around that is that if you give a condition like Abu Sa'id in al-Khudri and his companions, there is no blame, inshallah. If you give a condition, if you want me to do a ruqya, I will collect something. There is no blame in that. If you want me to do a ruqya, I will collect something. If I do this ruqya, I will collect something. Bismillah. There is no blame in that. From the hadith of Abu Sa'id in al-Khudri, there is also the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, has a similar report from the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, in a similar event. They made a ruqya and they gave a condition to receive something and the matter was given to them. So they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask whether that was lawful. He said it was lawful, alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is lawful to accept compensation and prizes. You can give it as a condition before that. And you may only accept it too after that. So I hope that it is clear. It is lawful if a person does that, inshallah. And then the Prophet, like I said in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, "Inna ahaqqa ma akhastum alayhi ajra kitabullah. Inna ahaqqa ma akhastum alayhi ajra kitabullah." This came also in the context of a ruqya, the like of what happened with Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and his companions. And that hadith also occurs in Sahih Muslim. I hope that one is clarified. Accepting a compensation or recompense for ruqya, that is lawful, inshallah. If you don't accept, that may be better, bi-idhnillah, because it is easier for your brother. It is clearer for your intentions. It has a lot of value. You expect all the rewards from Allah. It is from the aspects of sadaqah for your brother, not accepting anything from him. I hope that is clear, Abdul Rahman. The second part of the question. I mean,
it reads that,
yeah,
some people use this as evidence to support accepting money for reciting the Quran at social gatherings, parties. Maybe they are fast.
Reciting Quran in social gatherings. We also recite Quran now in social gatherings. We recite Quran now. We want to do a wedding ceremony. We say somebody should recite the Quran. The companions used to read it in their gatherings, especially in the gatherings of knowledge. But we have expanded this matter so much now. And it was a means of reminder for the gathering, before the gathering starts, about the injunctions of Allah in the Quran. But for us now, it is having another meaning when we recite Quran in opening ceremonies and all of these. I think we need to look at that expansion we are giving to it. So these people recited the Quran for Ruqya, and I don't think when those people come to recite the Quran in the gatherings by way of reminding us, that is reciting Quran for Ruqya. Abu Sa'id recited for Ruqya not because he wanted to remind them. Of course, those people were kuffar, but it was not a recitation of reminder. It was a recitation of what? Ruqya. And what the people do in gatherings is the recitation of reminder. So that evidence may not be appropriate for it from the hadith of Abu Sa'id. Maybe a hadith they will want to also cite is that hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas that I just read, that inna ahaqqama akhastum alayhi ajra kitabullah. The best of what you receive a gift, you receive a compensation, is the book of Allah. So they can say that one covers their recitation during marriage ceremonies. But that one itself came fi siyakir ruqya. That one also happened. It was ruqya that Ibn Abbas did. And that the hadith that Ibn Abbas was reporting has to also do with what? With ruqya. It was not about reminding. And us, because don't forget, we also have a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, also from the hadith of Abdurrahman ibn Shibl, and from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, اقرأ القرآن ولا تغلو فيه. Recite the Quran, don't go into extremes regarding it, meaning don't give the mud beyond the limits of mudud. Don't give a haraka where there should be iskan, sukun. This one happens a lot. When people read the Quran, they extend the mud. Like saying Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Now you can hear Bismillah. This. Don't go to these kinds of extremes regarding the Quran. When they say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, they say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. La taghlu fihi. Don't go to these kinds of extremes regarding the Quran. Wala tajfu anhu. Don't also distance yourself. Don't reduce the rights of Quran. That is, make sure you read the Quran with tajweed. Don't reduce the limits, the rights of the Quran. Don't go beyond. Don't also reduce. Read the Quran as it is. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wala ta'kulu bihi. Don't eat with the Quran. Don't make the Quran a means of eating food. Wala tastakfiru bihi. Don't make the Quran a means of expanding your wealth. This hadith, akhrajahu al-imamu Ahmad. It occurs in the Musnad of al-imam Ahmad. Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi reported it. Al-Imam al-Tabarani reported it. Al-Imam Abu Ya'la also reported the hadith. And that hadith is Hassan. It also occurs in the Silsilat al-Sahihah, volume 1, page 260, by Al-Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah. So the Quran also has limit. It says, لا تأكلوا به. Don't make it a means of eating. So it means these are exceptions from the general rule. As far as Ruqya is concerned, no problem. But in others, we need permissions also from the Sharia. The ones that he has permitted us, yes. Like which one? Ruqya. But for others, we need permissions. What we have seen is prohibitions. So it's not an open rule that everywhere you read the Quran, anytime you read the Quran or teach the Quran, you have upon the opportunity to collect money. No, it should not be misunderstood for that. Perhaps when we come to class, in the next class, we can give a little bit more explanation on this aspect of collecting something regarding the Quran. Some people have sat down now as their job is Jalabi. Yes, Abu Sa'idin collected something. So their own job is that they just sat down to start collecting the money and collecting goats and all of these. Abu Sa'idin al-Khudri, that was not his job. That was not his job. The companions were not sitting down to say, my own job is Ruqya. No. No, they did not do that. So they had other things they were doing. They were buying, they were selling, they were trading, they were doing all of these. But whenever they found an opportunity for Ruqya, they made Ruqya and they collected something. That's not bad. This is what this hadith would say. If you want to extend it to other things, those ones require evidence. Because the basic rule about ibadah is that it is tawqifiyah. It is ibadah you are doing to Allah when you read the Quran. Can you receive money for observing salah for a person? You see now. Can you observe salah for a person? Can you fast for a person? Yes, you can fast for a person if you are the wali of a person who passes away. You have a father, he's in Ramadan, he for the first 10 days he couldn't fast and then he dies. He's owing Ramadan. Even though some scholars say, no, it is restricted to Sawmun Nadhr, the fast where he vowed. If he vowed on something, I was owing the fast of atonement. They say that is the one. So, but that one too, you are fasting for him on his behalf. How do we know you can fast for somebody? There is evidence. How do you know you can go for Hajj for somebody? There's evidence. So how do you know that you can collect Ruqya from the Quran, reciting the Quran? You can collect something. Evidence. If the companion, they say, no, we will not distribute it until we come to the Prophet first. Meaning that it was something that required them to meet him first, alayhi salatu wasalam, to know if what they did was lawful or not. So if you also want to be collecting money from the Quran, you need to find out first, has the Prophet permitted that aspect from where you want to collect the Quran, collect money regarding the Quran? I hope that it is clear, bi-ithnillah wa bi-rahman. We can come to a fuller explanation, inshallah, in subsequent classes. The time is already far spent. Ameen.
Can I take the last one? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت